You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Thy word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. We give God all the glory and praise. He's worthy of it all. So he's the one who allowed us to be here this evening. And as we continue in the gospel writings of Mark, we are going to see how Mark narrated all the things about Jesus. We see where his writing emphasizes actions and deeds of Jesus on the move. Jesus on the move. We see healing taking place, casting out demons, performing. Jesus was performing miracles, and he was there teaching, always teaching. All the opportunities he gets, he was always teaching. We see in the gospel writings of Mark, everything seemed to happen at a rapid pace, people of God. So we see this writer didn't have any time to hesitate or to give detail. He was just at the point telling exactly what was going on. So when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, little before the crucifixion, we see where Mark slows down a bit on this narrative. So we see Mark is the same John Mark that we read about in the scriptures, the same John Mark, the son of Mary, in whose house we see the church always gathered, the early church sometimes gathered. And we can read that in Acts 12:12-17. So we are going to be looking a little and John Mark, and knowing that Mark wrote for the Romans in Rome, he identified his theme in the first verse of Mark 1, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we let us continue in the gospel writings of Mark, and knowing that the gospel is not about Mark, it's about Jesus. Remember, people of God, he is the writer. He writes about Jesus. So we have to understand that the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. So let us pray and begin. Father, we thank you again for this evening. We thank you for your love, for your grace, your mercy, your peace. We thank you for the hope we have in you, Jesus. We thank you that you are our blessed hope. We thank you that you are coming back for us. We thank you, O God, Almighty Lord, that you have left your instruction with us so that we can be prepared for your coming. So we just thank you, O God, for your word to us this evening. And we pray in the name of Jesus, we will not take it lightly. And we will hold firmly to your word, O God, and we will walk by faith and not by sight, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. So we just thank you for who you are and all that you have done and all that you are doing. And I pray that we will continue to seek you wholeheartedly. For your word said, if we seek you with our whole heart, we will find you. So as we continue in your word, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll guide us into all truth and bring back to our memory your word, that we will be able to stand in these evil days and having done all to stand. We thank you again for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Help us, O God, to continue, O God, to show forth your glory and your praise wherever we go. O God, honoring your great name. So we bless you, we honor you, we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we are going to begin in verse 16 of Mark 1 this week. Verse 16 of Mark 1, we're going to see where he called four fishermen to be his disciples. So we are going to see how he called them and how they left all they had and went on that mission with Jesus. So verse 16 of Mark 1 tells us, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So we see as he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw these two fishermen, Simon and Andrew. They were brothers, and they were casting their net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Look at verse 17. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately, verse 18 said, verse 18 tells us, they immediately left their net. They immediately left their net and followed him. People of God, they immediately, at once, they never hesitated. People of God, they immediately left their nets and followed him. So we see Peter and Andrew, Simon and Andrew, same Simon Peter and Andrew. We see, people of God, they took heed to the call of Jesus Christ. We cannot describe the magnetism of this call. The Bible says they immediately left their nets. This was their livelihood. This is what they do to make a living, people of God. They were fishermen. But the call from Jesus Christ was more compelling than any duty they have to perform. The call from Jesus Christ was more compelling than any duty they had to perform. They willingly followed Jesus. So, people of God, we cannot fathom the magnetism of this call. We can't describe this call. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But people of God, we have to know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He can do anything he wants to do. And he called them in such a fashion, people of God, that they could not resist. Have you been in a position where you cannot and could not resist Jesus? So we have to come to that place where we listen to his call, follow him, and reach to a stage where we don't try to resist him. We don't want to resist the Holy Ghost. We see, people of God, when Stephen was taken before the council, he said, "You stubborn and stiff-necked people, you have been resisting the Holy Ghost." So we don't want to resist Jesus' call. Jesus is calling us. Just as the disciples of old, they took heed to the call of Jesus. So we must take heed as also. How can a young man cleanse his ways? Well, by taking heed to the word of God. So we see Jesus' call was so compelling that any duty they had to perform was second place. Jesus was first place. They willingly followed Jesus. Are we willing to follow him today? Are we willing to follow Jesus? Are we willing to let go of everything, all the things that we hold on so dearly to? Are we willing to let them go and follow Jesus? John 8 tells us, Jesus spoke. Then Jesus spake to them, saying, and Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world," John 8:12. "I am the light of the world. He who follows shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And if we follow him, people of God, we cannot walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of life. People of God, we don't want to walk in darkness and stumble along the journey, but we want to follow Jesus. And when we follow him, people of God, we will not stumble on the journey, because we will have light. So we want to walk in his character. We want to walk in his identity. We want to walk in his divine nature. We want to follow him. We don't want any darkness in us. Remember, we have been transferred, children of God. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we do not walk anymore in darkness, but we walk in the light of Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. And people of God, when we have light, we will not stumble. Many of us are stumbling because we are not following Jesus. But Jesus is saying to us today, follow me. Follow me, and I will equip you to go and to evangelize. And many souls will come to me because you are following me. People of God, the world is looking. We are the light of the world, Jesus tells us. A city that is set on a hill can't hide. When we are displaying the characteristics of Jesus Christ, wherever we go, people of God, even when we are trying to hide, we cannot hide. Because somebody will see and know that your standard is higher than the world's standard. We, people of God, are called to know that we are called to live the new life in Christ, to walk as children of light, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, so that we show forth his characteristics. People of God, the world is looking, and many truly want to follow Jesus, but they can't find him. They can't find him in us. So we now, as God's children, have to be true followers of Jesus Christ, followers of the light of the world. He has put his light in us. Let us not put the light that he has put in us under a bushel, but let that light be on a candlestick where everyone around us will see and know that God is real. So we, as God's children, are called to follow Jesus. We see the disciples of old. They immediately left their net. This was what they do, people of God. This was their livelihood. This was the way of making a living. But they left it to follow Jesus. What are you willing to leave to follow Jesus? That's a question I would ask you today. What are you willing to leave to follow Jesus? We must be willing to follow Jesus and let him be Lord of our lives. Let him take control of every aspect of our lives. Look at verse 19 of Mark 1. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. So he called first Peter, or Simon, and Andrew. He called first Simon and Andrew. They left their boat and they followed him, went a little further, and he saw James, the brother of and he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. So James and John were brothers who were also in the boat mending their nets. So they were just doing their own thing, not even thinking about Jesus. They were mending their nets. They need to have nets mended to cast it out and to catch fish. They were fishermen. But look at verse 20, what happened. And immediately he called, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee. So James and John left their father Zebedee and the hired servant and went after Jesus. So we see that compelling call, people of God. We see as he called them, they couldn't help but follow him. People of God, the scripture did not say that these men asked Jesus any questions. No, the scripture did not say it. They did not ask the Lord any question. And many of us have so many questions that we would want to know. What's going to happen to me, Jesus? What is going to happen to me? How am I going to survive? Many of us have those questions. But we have to understand that it is God who have given us the ability to make wealth. It's God who gave us health and strength to go on the job and perform the job daily. God gives us health and strength, so all glory belongs to his name. So when he said, drop everything and come, we have to drop everything and come to him. The scripture did not say that they asked Jesus any question. They were just obedient to the call. They left their vocation of fishing. This was their vocation, their livelihood. They left their father with the hired servant and followed Jesus. So we see Jesus called them. Jesus know who he should call. Who is going to follow him? He know the 12 disciples that he was to choose. He know who would follow him. So when he called people of God, we see James and John following him. Are we willing to forsake all and follow Jesus? It's a question. Are we willing to forsake all and follow Jesus? Look at verse 21 of Mark 1. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And we know on the Sabbath day, people of God, in that Jewish setting, that Jewish culture, we see there was a lot of teaching going on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. So Jesus Christ, when he went to Capernaum, he went in to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and taught. So very important that we understand, people of God, every opportunity that comes and Jesus gets the chance to go in and teach the kingdom, he would do it. So he went into the synagogue and taught. But look at verse 22. And they were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So we see, people of God, the scribes were versed in the law, and they would write about the law. They were versed, but he did not speak like the scribe. He taught them as one having authority. So we have to understand the authority that Jesus Christ has. They were amazed at Jesus' teaching because he spoke with authority. So we see, people of God, so Jesus Christ himself is the Word. He is the Word personified. So his authority must be evident. He is the Word personified. So his authority must be evident. Look on John 1:1. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see, people of God, that John tells us, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ himself was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see Jesus Christ came, and he was in the beginning with God, and he's God. The perfect God-man came to earth, to fallen earth, to redeem you and I. People of God, we have to understand this truth, that Christ came. We see the Word was personified, so his authority must be evident. So we see where John himself spoke and said, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We see in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we see the person of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld, John said, we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see, people of God, Jesus Christ, the Word personified. The Word became flesh in John 1:14. And dwelt among us. John said he dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ himself, full of grace and truth. We see in Matthew 28:18, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So we have to understand, people of God, when Jesus spoke with that authority, it's showing that he is God himself. He is God himself. All authority is given unto him in heaven and on earth. So we have to understand that Jesus came and spoke with so much authority that the people were amazed at Jesus' teaching because he spoke with so much authority, because he's the Word. He is the Word personified, the thoughts of God. We see the intentions of God. He is the Word personified. So we see his authority must be evident, not like the scribes. They were mere men. So they spoke what they heard. They did not understand, and many of them did not know the Lord personally. When you know God personally, then you take Jesus at his word. You believe Jesus Christ, and you trust him as your Savior. So we need to know him, and we need to ask the Holy Ghost to reveal Jesus to us. So when we go forth, others will know that we have been with Jesus. So we have to understand who Jesus is and continue to proclaim the good news, continue to highlight and point to him, not us, people of God. It's not about us, but it's about Jesus Christ, the Word. Look at verse 23 of Mark 1. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Look on what this man did. He was in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And there was a man in their synagogue, the same synagogue of the Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees. They all gathered there on Sabbath day and the Saturday. But there was a man there with an unclean spirit. People of God, the unclean spirit keeps silent when religious people are just doing their rituals. The unclean spirit keeps silent when religious people are just doing their rituals. But here comes Jesus Christ. So there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. But that unclean spirit was not manifested, people of God. We have to understand this. The unclean spirit was comfortable in the religious circle. But Jesus came, and the unclean spirit cried out. Look on what the unclean spirit said. Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? Here is the unclean spirit speaking. Did you come to destroy us? That means it's more than one. But there was a spokesperson of the unclean spirit. He cried out, saying, let us alone, leave us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So even the unclean spirit knew Jesus. I know who you are, Jesus. Are you coming to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. People of God, remember when the enemy, the devil, was thrown out of heaven. One third of the angels followed him. So then what happened? What is the unclean spirit saying? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. I know who you are. So we have to understand, people of God, that even the unclean spirit knows Jesus. So we as God's people are called to know him personally and to understand his ways. And we can only know him by continuing to study his word, continuing to go deep into the gospel writings and understand, people of God, the gospel, the four gospels, the synoptic gospel, and the gospel of John. We must understand what they are saying and understand, people of God, it's all about Jesus. They were all highlighting Jesus, different writers, different pattern of writing, but it all comes back to Jesus, showing forth the Messiah King. So Jesus Christ came, and even the unclean spirit was able to identify him. Are you able to recognize him? Are you able to recognize him? The unclean spirit said, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But look at verse 25. What did Jesus do? But Jesus rebuked him. Jesus rebuked that unclean spirit and saying, be quiet. Be quiet and come out of him. So we see, people of God, Jesus knows the unclean spirit. And when Jesus step on the scene, unclean spirit cannot keep silent. But Jesus is here to set captives free, to open prison doors, to make the lame walk and the blind see. This man was held captive by this unclean spirit. And when he saw Jesus, who was there to cast him out, he cried out, do you come to destroy us? I know who you are, Jesus. I know you. You are the Holy One of God. So people of God, even the unclean spirit know Jesus. What is that saying to us? Who say we are born again? We must know him. But Jesus rebuked that spirit and say, be quiet. Be quiet, spirit, and come out of him. The word said, and when the unclean spirit, look on verse 26, and when the unclean spirit had convulsed him, so he went into like an epileptic, you know, seizure. He went into a seizure. The spirit convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice. And he came out of him. So we see, people of God, Jesus comes to set captives free. He comes to heal the broken hearts. And he comes to make the lame walk and the blind see. He comes to give us the oil of joy for mourning. So we as God's people must understand who Jesus is. And we see the people were amazed. The word said they were all amazed in verse 27. Then they were all amazed. So they questioned among themselves saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commanded even the unclean spirit, and they obey him. With authority he commanded even the unclean spirit, and they obeyed him. So what is this? They were all saying. They were all amazed, questioning among themselves. They did not go and question Jesus. They were questioning among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commanded even the unclean spirit, and they obey him. People of God, we must understand the God that we serve. He is Jehovah God. He is the promise-keeping God. He comes to open prison doors and to let out captive souls that have been bound for so long. Jesus Christ has come. And people of God, we have to put our trust in him, believe him wholeheartedly, and trust in his word. So we will stop here this week, and we will continue from verse 27 of Mark 1 for next week. God bless you all, and I pray that we will continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for all that you have done for us, and we pray in the name of Jesus, O God, that as we hear your word, we will be prepared for your coming, for we know you're coming back for your people. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for what you're doing in this season. And may your name continue to be glorified in the lives of your people. We bless and honor and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. Blessings to all. Amen. In the Lord is
thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.